You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Hannah Baba.
Well, it's a new day. Republicans no longer control all three branches of the government, and there's no doubt that makes the vast majority of registered voters in the state of California happy. Our team here at KLW was up late covering the election live, and we're back now to sort through the results. I'm joined by KLW election coordinator Angela Johnston and our news director, Ben Trefney. Hi, guys.
Hey, Hannah.
All right. So on Monday's Cross Currents, we started out with what you were most looking forward to on Election Day. Mm-hmm. And that was actually races taking place outside of the Bay Area.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like the District 10 race that's near Modesto and areas just east of San Jose. And that's where a lot of Bay Area folks drove out to campaign and canvass since it was close in proximity to the Bay Area and had a really good chance of swinging left with this Democratic candidate, Josh Harder. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really, really close. It looks like the incumbent Republican Jeff Denham won with, can you believe it, 50.6% of the vote. That's just 1,287 votes over Josh Harder.
Close.
Close. And because it's that close, it's called a close contest in the state, which means the state and the Secretary of State have until mid-December to kind of finally decide that and look at every single ballot mm-hmm. that may still need to be counted.
Right. And as we wait on those final results, the House will definitely be majority Democrats, though. We're just waiting to see how blue it is.
Yeah. And of course, the Senate last night, too, nationally got a little more red. And since senators serve 6-year terms as compared to 2-year in the House, that's going to mean the Senate's likely to stay Republican for a while longer.
So let's turn now to the state propositions. There were 11 of them. What passed, Angela?
Okay, Prop 2, that issues bonds for housing people with mental illnesses, and Prop 4, that also issues bonds for private children's hospitals, and Prop 12, that regulates the confinement of farm animals. All of those passed easily with more than 60% yes votes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also this Prop 11, that's the measure put on the ballot by ambulance companies to require paid on-call breaks. That passed. That one was really complicated because it has to do with a lawsuit, and it turned out ambulance workers themselves were against it, at least in an organized form, but they didn't put in a formal opposition in the guide in time, and so that might have influenced the way that vote turned out.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out most of California also wants permanent daylight saving time. Prop 7 also passed pretty easily. It'll now go to the legislature for a 2/3 vote to move forward.
And then if they pass that at the legislature, it's going to have to go to the federal government, which is going to provide a little more tension between California and the nation, which is, of course, what we've been living with for the last couple of years.
It'll just continue on. So now let's go to some of the state props that did not make it.
All right. Well, let me talk first about Prop 6. Mm-hmm. So that was the gas tax repeal. That one went down. That means that we're going to keep the gas tax that was recently established.
So that lost. Prop 8 lost, too. That would have put a cap on kidney dialysis clinics in California, and it was a tricky one. I know a lot of people were confused about it. Both sides were talking about patient health care, better patient health care. But it failed with over 60% no.
There was a lot of concern that that would just shut down a lot of the dialysis clinics. I think that kind of fear that was definitely put out there by the people who opposed that, that might have influenced it.
Right.
Right. No for Prop 5 as well. That would have allowed property owners to transfer their existing property taxes if they're over 55 and buy a new home in California. But independent analysis showed a big loss for schools.
Yeah, those are the echoes of the old Prop 13.
Right. And Prop 10, that would have repealed Costa-Hawkins. That was pretty heavily defeated, which may be surprising here in the Bay Area. San Franciscans actually voted for it, but only by a slim margin. Lots of money and attack ads were spent to defeat that one.
Yeah, and a lot of surprise about that one last night. Okay, so now let's talk about state races. Going into Election Day, Democrats were just short of holding a supermajority in the state Senate. So what happened there?
Well, the Sacramento Bee is projecting that Democrats regain that supermajority, and that's going to mean they could have near total control of the state government.
That's right. Former San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, as we know, he took his next step up the political ladder.
Yep.
He'll replace Jerry Brown as governor of the Golden State. We'll see if that's the last rung he goes for. Mm-hmm. His fellow San Franciscan Nancy Pelosi retained her seat, and that, of course, is a really important one with the new House majority for Democrats. And Gavin Newsom's lieutenant governor will be Eleni Kounalakis. His Secretary of State will be Alex Padilla. California's Comptroller will be Betty Yee. Javier Becerra, who has really taken on the federal government in a lot of ways over the last few years, will remain Attorney General. And Fiona Ma, who comes from my district, District 4 in San Francisco, will be the new Treasurer.
Mm-hmm. Another state race that caught our attention this year was the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. And I hadn't even heard of this position until this race, but it was the most expensive one on the ballot, and it was a really close one.
That's just amazing that they put so much money into the State Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Right. So Marshall Tuck, a former charter school executive, is narrowly ahead of Tony Thurmond. He's a state assembly member for District 15 in Alameda. And Thurmond hasn't conceded yet. He just tweeted earlier this morning that there's millions of ballots left to be counted and, quote, they're digging in and waiting for every vote.
And that's really interesting because Marshall Tuck, working with charter schools in the past, you know, he will be looking at education and maybe kind of leading the direction for the state, or at least suggesting it from a more charter first perspective. And I think that that's what this came down to, why there was so much money in this race, because it maybe came down from an argument between charter schools versus conventional schools that was really embodied by these two candidates. And you could see how close Californians feel about that, because it's almost 50-50.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be paying attention to that. Thurmond's old seat in Alameda County was also hotly contested by two Democrats, former Obama aide Buffy Wicks and Richmond City Council member Jovanka Beckles. Wicks did win, but there was a lot of progressive excitement for Beckles.
She was endorsed by Bernie Sanders, right?
Right. She was endorsed by Bernie Sanders and the Democratic Socialists of America.
So then there are all these local ballot measures. What are some of the most significant ones that did pass last night?
Well, we can talk about San Francisco first here. And there were five ballot measures that were up in this case. And every one of them passed, Hannah. So that includes Prop A. That's the Embarcadero Seawall Earthquake Safety Bond. That's almost $500 million for that that'll be put forth in a bond.
And then there's Prop C. That was a big one. Now San Francisco will permanently double the money it spends on housing and services for homeless people. They'll raise new funds by taxing the top 300 or so highest grossing businesses in the city. And it looks like it was really helped by what's being called the Benioff boost. Mark Benioff poured millions of dollars into this campaign, and London Breed was against it. And because it didn't pass with a two-thirds majority vote.
Right.
It didn't have to, but it didn't.
Even though it passed pretty strong.
It didn't pass two-thirds. And that may not make a difference on the surface, mm-hmm. but it means it could face legal challenges before it's set to be enacted in January, because there's this legal case in California right now, it's pending, that could invalidate any tax measure for specific purposes, like homelessness, that didn't pass with a two-thirds majority vote.
So they're going to be waiting on that decision then.
Yeah, they're going to be waiting on that decision. They're going to be waiting on maybe legal cases that may come up. So that'll be really interesting to keep an eye on.
Okay, so let's round this out with some local elected officials. We can start with the Oakland mayor's race.
Sure. Well, Mayor Libby Schaaf is going to continue to be mayor, and she won really convincingly over basically a field of many, many candidates who did not have a whole lot of name recognition. I found this pretty interesting, not so much that Mayor Schaaf won, but that she won so easily, because she really is having a lot of difficulty in Oakland right now. There's a major homeless issue going on there, so many encampments on the streets of Oakland, and then also you have these high-profile exits by the pro sports team. Oakland Raiders are going to be leaving for Las Vegas almost immediately. Golden State Warriors are moving over to San Francisco. So, you know, she is empowered with what looks like a mandate, but I'm curious to see what Libby Schaaf's going to do in the next 4 years, because it seems like there's been a lot of problems that have come while she's been in office.
Right. So let's go over to San Francisco. Five supervisor seats were up for grabs.
Yeah, so five supervisors were elected last night. One of them is Gordon Marr. He's going to represent the West Side, which is District 4. He is going to be rejoined by Catherine Stephanie, who was already the incumbent in District 2 on the north. Matt Haney in District 6 will represent SOMA. Raphael Mandelman in the Mission represents District 8. And Shimon Walton, who used to be the president of the SFUSD school board, he will lead District 10 on the east side of the city.
Mm-hmm. And something to note, Haney and Marr are both very progressive candidates, and it will be interesting to see what they do for their districts in the city now that they could have a pretty strong progressive majority in the Board of Supervisors. Their wins also mean that their opponents, candidates that were pretty heavily backed by Mayor Breed and a lot of money, have been defeated.
And finally, KLW's license is held by the San Francisco Unified School District. So who are the newest members of the school board?
Well, I can tell you that there are three, and one of them is Allison Collins. She is a parent who makes her voice heard quite a lot. There's also Gabriela Lopez. I was at the candidates forum, and her kid makes her himself known quite a lot. He went up there on stage when there was a candidates forum of many, many candidates, and that was an interesting moment. And there was also Fauga Maliga, who is somebody who used to work right here where KELW is at Burton High School, and he was appointed to the board by London Breed shortly before the election. So him winning election is actually something that did go right for London Breed last night.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Angela Johnston is the election coordinator for KLW News. Ben Trefney is our news director.